and Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Sean Fisher, and we're going to talk about Sean's new movie that's just recently came out. It's Metaphysia 2012. How are you, Sean?
Hi, Eva. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. What a trek in your movie. Has it opened all the way out yet? I mean, is it here yet? What is the status
of it? It's here, but it's now it's basically becoming my job to let people know about it, of course. I'm in a new phase of development with the film. I spent, as you know, a little over 4 years making the movie. It's an exploration of the 2012 themes and consciousness from an alternative and metaphysical point of view, and also a Native American point of view. And having spent all these years making it, to be honest with you, I'm just getting used to this new mode of promoting the film as opposed to making the film. So forgive me if I'm a little rusty on the phone with you tonight, but I'll do my best.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm just glad we caught up for my audience. It was kind of a last-minute thing that happened at 1 minute till because I couldn't reach him earlier and something else happened for me. And so I'm glad that we connected.
Well, so, you know, it's not, to be honest with you, it's not that surprising that we're having this serendipitous meeting because a lot of the film was made this way. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit tonight if you think your audience might be interested. But there was a lot of those kinds of synchronicities and relied a lot upon intuition to really put this together. And I think that's what makes the film a little bit different.
Well, I want you to tell us all about it. But since I have known about it from the conception, I just want to ask a couple of questions before we get started. When we first started talking, I thought it was going to be a science thing. So then I see that it went to Native American, so there must have been some synchronistic thing that happened for you.
That's a great question. It actually ties into what I was just saying, which is that when I began making the film years ago, I really just had a premise, a strong intention in mind with a lot of questions. And I think I'm no different than probably most people who listen to your show and other consciousness-raising shows out there, in that we're wondering about this world, which is changing so quickly before our eyes, and it's changing so much that it's very difficult to keep track of it anymore. And it's also changing within us. Our own consciousness seems to be on high-speed evolution right now, at least for many people. And I had questions. You know, I was going through some things in my own life, just like many people, and they weren't all pleasant or harmonious. But I had an urge or an impulse to look deeper and find the source of much of my experience and much of my confusion about the world. And I embarked upon this film venture, this documentary film, to meet people like yourself who seem to have insight into what was going on from your particular field of expertise. And I had an intention in mind, and that's how I began. But what I didn't know, and I know now all these years later, is that there was a whole nother path that was opening up for me. Just by putting the intention out to pursue this film project, all these doors began opening that were not scripted. And so, yes, when I met you, which was pretty early on in the project, what I was really up to at that time was exploring a lot of this metaphysical new consciousness that seemed to be emerging. And that would include science and the science of consciousness and a lot of the things that you do in your work. And what happened is as I began to meet people like yourself, it was almost like things were being said to me as like triggers in my own consciousness that were opening me up to new ideas about what I was doing. And I then began having synchronicities, unexplained encounters with...
Oh, don't you love it? Oh, you just know something's about to happen when that happens.
Well, it's like you and me getting on the on your show today. We really didn't plan this, and I think we probably talked about doing it at one point, but it's almost like the forces of both of our intentions brought us together, whether we were consciously aware of it this morning or not. It was somehow an opportunity for us today, and that's what was happening in the making of the film. I had all these intentions based on my level of consciousness or conscious awareness of what was going on at that time. But on another level, a deeper level, there were, I don't know how to say this, but there was a kind of guidance around me and the film and the people in the film that put me down different paths. And so I would begin receiving phone calls, for example, from a Native American ceremonial leader named Chief Sony Reyna. Completely out of the blue, I did not know this Native American chief. I had never met or even heard of him, but he got my phone number through a mutual friend and called me, and that began a series of phone calls where he was essentially guiding me through this process of making the film and exploring 2012 and exploring these new ideas of consciousness without me having any idea where I was going. He was taking me there. And I think if I did it correctly, you can kind of see that in the film.
Yes, you can.
And he was the most significant of the coincidences or synchronicities. And I know you know all about this. You talk about it in your work. But there were certainly others, other synchronicities, other synchronistic meetings, people who had something to share. And so to answer your question, I began with one intention, but I was drawn into an entirely different pursuit, an entirely different path that began to become more and more magical, mystical, and inexplicable. It was really a powerful experience for me to somehow incorporate my typical Western conscious view of things that I grew up with and allow that to keep me grounded while also being okay with the fact that I might be feeling things and having intuitions about new directions and new subjects to consider, unplanned and unscripted, and it might be okay to listen to that. And that was kind of my back and forth, and you probably remember a little of that in the film as well, a kind of push and pull between two worlds. And it drove me through the entire story of, and basically the film is my personal journey through this 2012 material, but it's more of a journey about my questioning about the new century. What's going on in the world at this time? As a humanity, what are we really going through? We're facing crisis after crisis. We all know about those things happening. But we're also facing all these incredible breakthroughs, such as, you know, conscious radio shows like yours and all these other people doing incredible work in the world. What is going on? You know, what is behind this acceleration in evolution all of a sudden? Because I remember when I was growing up, there were certainly a lot of developments in the 70s and 80s, but nothing like what we're seeing right now. So it just seems like everything's going faster and faster. And so I began to explore that and then began getting these calls from this Native American wisdom chief and meeting people. And all of that is documented in the film. My journey into being drawn into this material unexpectedly, without a script, without any kind of planning, and then meeting people along the way who were like guideposts, light posts, showing me new places to go without knowing exactly where I was going. And in the end, as you remember, I end up in a completely different disposition towards all of it. I do encounter 2012. I learn what people believe 2012 means as an opportunity, a hopeful message. All of that happens in the film, but it goes much deeper. It becomes about consciousness. It becomes about transformation and the transformation of consciousness. And that's where I believe the Native American wisdom in the film really, really rings home. And I don't think there's a lot of people today in the 2012 movement, alternative 2012 movement, who have really dived in and explored the Native American treasure of wisdom that we have available to us. And that's why it became so significant in my film. But anyway, I'll let you talk for a minute.
No, I'm happy. You're doing a great job. I like that about it because I get constantly people send me things about coming on my show, and it's always about aliens. And honestly, I get tired of hearing that. I want to hear what's going on with the quantum leap. You know,
right.
That's happening right now. There's
right.
There's a change happening, and it's happening quickly. And I wanted to tell you something else, too. I have a synchronicity with Chief Son Arena, and
do
I had
really?
Forgotten all about it until I saw your video. Right after I woke up, which was back in probably about 95, I think. A couple of years, I woke up, you know my story, I kind of woke up and I knew Danion Brinkley and some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went up to Charlotte, North Carolina to this conference, and there I synchronistically met Danion. I mean, he just walked up to me at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was checking in and said, I've known you for a millennium. And I thought it was some nut that had came in off the highway. Anyway, so the next day we had this big prayer circle in this big room. And Chief Son Arena was leading it. And I had my little girl, Jessica, with me. And about out of the probably 100 people that were sitting in that circle, of that prayer circle, he gets up out of his chair, and she's right beside me, and walks up and comes over and kneels down to her and asks her to start the prayer circle off.
Wow.
So when she saw that, she's now 17, when she saw that, she went, oh, my God, that's that man.
Oh, she saw the film.
Yeah, she looked at, we were watching it together, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Jessica, that's her name. She's been going through, anybody that goes through a shift goes through a hard time, and you know that.
Absolutely.
And she's been going through a hard time. She fooled around with street drugs and got addicted to something. And I went upstairs to get her ready, to get her up to go to school the other morning, and she was dead. And fortunately, this summer, I took a CPR class, so I did that, and she came back. But she was gray and cold and dead. So
Wow. Seeing
Sonny Reyna in that movie right after this happened and remembering that day was very important to her. It really
Wow. Was.
It was very, took her breath away.
Wow.
And then another thing, this interview tonight,
mm-hmm.
You've been on my mind for about two weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And I've been
thinking,
I've got to get Sean on my show. He's got his movie coming out, but I just can't do it because I'm booked to December. And tonight, another person who has put a movie out, and I'm not going to say who it is because they didn't send me their phone number, and that's why it didn't happen, because I couldn't call them. But it was like, I've been thinking all day, I need to have Sean in this slot.
Amazing.
So the synchronicity of it just kind of blows me away, too.
It is, it is remarkable, and it's so nice to hear that story about your daughter and about you watching the film and Chief Sonny Reyna, because that's what I realized in making the film. Whenever you engage in a creative project of your own, you're struggling with so many different levels of consciousness, your own life and the practicalities of your life while you're trying to do something creative or contribute. But there's so much more happening on a conscious level than you're aware of typically. And that's what happened to me. And so Chief Sonny Reyna calls me out of the blue during the beginning of the making of the film. And little did I know that he would become probably the most significant person in the entire journey for me, just in terms of my transformation as a guide, a Native American teacher. But I didn't know. So I'm receiving phone calls, and these phone calls are shared in the movie so people can see what he says to me on the phone as I'm going through this material. And I'm meeting all these people like you and all these different people that represent this kind of advanced look at consciousness and what's occurring on the planet. But I keep coming back to Chief Sonny Reyna, and this is what's documented in the film as well, because his wisdom seems to incorporate all of these advanced views of what's happening on the planet. He's totally sympathetic with all the different people and what they're saying, but he also roots it in the ancient view, which is where the sacred heritage of the Native American culture comes from. And the Maya, which is where this 2012 notion as an end date, calendar end date, comes from, the Maya and the Native Americans are obviously very closely linked in the chain of things over the centuries. So it's just a remarkable thing. And all of that happened without me scripting any of it.
Yes,
I simply had an intention. What's that?
You're not driving the car.
I wasn't driving the cars. And I didn't realize that until about halfway into the film, making of the film. And then I started to realize there is something really going on around the making of this film that I just cannot account for. And I can either trust in it, because the signs of it were really positive and electric, almost like, you know, your hair would stand on end when these synchronicities would happen.
Yes.
You know, and you start to wonder, you know, you don't even wonder. You start to want that more and more in your life. You want those, you want that magic of running into the right people at the right time and getting a message or giving a message that sparks something brand new.
So, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You were a businessman before this happened.
Yes.
How did it change the way you ran your business?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it made me...
I don't mean to take a turn here, but to me, this is an important thing, conscious business.
Absolutely. And that is, one thing it made me... you know, I've always been someone who's strived to have integrity and be conscious in my relationships and business, but it made me want to do that even to the nth degree, even if it meant the sacrifice of profit or the sacrifice of certain kinds of worldly gain, just to have conscious relationships with people
mm-hmm.
that were about integrity, that felt good. It was a good change of energy. And so in business... You know, I went to business school on the East Coast many, many years ago, and if I talked this way in business school, they would have made me repeat the course, because that's not what you focus on in business. You're taught what's the bottom line, how much money are you making? And that is important. You know, in business, you have to be profitable, otherwise it's not truly business. But like you're saying, I believe there's a way, and that's what we're being called on the planet to do right now, to be conscious in business. Not to be perfect, because every day still in my own business relationships, I see mistakes that I make and mistakes that people I work with make. But what's important is that we strive for integrity, and we strive to create a balance in the relationship, a mutual exchange that's beneficial. And that's something I would say is much more prominent in the way I do business now than before I made this film, because I've always believed that there are consequences to the choices and decisions we make from a spiritual point of view, but I believe it much more so now, having gone through this transformational film process, seen what I've seen, which you really can't understand completely in terms of my story unless you watch the film. Then you'll know. Probably most of the people in your audience would watch my film and identify with it in terms of the experiences they're going through or already have gone through in the recent years, which is, you know, you face a crisis that's calling you to change. You make a decision to either pursue that higher path which is a mysterious path because you do not know what's before you. And you have to let go of certain things that you're used to.
You can't leave out the skepticism, because when I first talked to you, that was one of our things, was the skepticism. Remember that. And that's because I was going, Sean, please don't do this movie woo-woo. And you
exactly.
said, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm such a skeptic as it is right now.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, we can only share so much about ourselves with the public, and I'm sure you know that more than I do because you're in the public eye so much. You know, I've always been a spiritual person. I've been involved in spiritual disciplines that were not really metaphysical, but more about meditation and transcending mm-hmm. the ordinary views of life. And without getting into all that on this interview, you do kind of have to. I did represent more of a skeptical point of view when I began entering these metaphysical considerations and making this movie. Not because I didn't believe they existed, but because I believed you have to be careful right now.
You do.
Because there's so many things happening.
That was,
you know?
That was important for me to see that. I was glad you did that.
And you felt like I did that properly in the film, right? Because it was tricky.
I felt like it was necessary. And I can't remember the guy that you were talking to in there, but he was like, he was the guy that had the ponytail. He had his hair slicked back.
Oh, Michael
ponytail.
Tessarian.
Yeah. He was saying, there's so many people out there mm-hmm. who, when they don't get it the right way, they go out just to sell it.
Exactly.
And be careful of who you choose to be your teacher.
Mm.
It's basic. You know, to be careful who you choose to be your teacher. Because if you're getting into the 12th grade, why do you want to go back and get a kindergarten teacher? And so I felt the way that you did that was very important. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for
I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense because if you remember, and people who see the film will see, I don't want to give away too much, but there's parts that happen early on that communicate just that message you're talking about.
Yes.
Because I wanted people to go through this process with me so that they realize this isn't really about me in the end. Yes, it's my story, but I'm just like you. You know, I'm wanting to be alive and successful and you know, evolve with this changing world and enjoy the best and explore my own consciousness, my own awakening, my own understanding of who I am, all of that. At the same time, things are happening so quickly, so fast, there is a sense that you can't trust everybody anymore, and that's just part of the world at this time. And there's a reason for it. There are people that are taking advantage of other people and what they do or don't know. And so I wanted to make sure people understood that when I was going through this process, this story, this film, that I wasn't just believing everything that I heard. There were places and times where I got caught up certainly in what I was hearing and wanted to believe in it, but I always return to questioning it, because for me, it's not true unless you can question it deeply and then feel a deep resonance with what you're getting back as an answer. If you question it deeply and you don't feel that, you feel like there's some problems with what you're hearing, or that couldn't be true, then it can't be true.
There's only one truth, yes.
There's only one. So
regardless of how it's spoken, there's only one truth.
Exactly. And I think it was very important to me, at least, because I understand how easy it is to get caught up in a lot of the, as you call it, the woo-woo stuff. It's easy to get caught up in it because we all want to be, you know, living in a magical, beautiful planetary consciousness. We all want that, but unfortunately, there are realities to life on planet Earth that are not just about that, and you have to keep it grounded because that's where science comes in. The discipline of science is to test theories. And as you remember, we met Dean Radin of Noetic Sciences in the film, and you know, nobody really has a huge part in the film. That's what's so interesting about what happened. I met so many people And they all had something important to share, that it was important for me just to share as much of the diversity of ideas that informed my journey, that brought me to that place of transformation as possible. So one of those people was Dean Radin, and he is a part of the Noetic Sciences Group. And he explained an experiment that they were working on. You've probably heard about it, I'm sure, already.
Yeah.
Where they were testing, you know, the movement of consciousness when consciousness gets together in a collective group, and that collective is focusing on the same thing together. Can they measure scientifically?
About the random event generator.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's a wonderful. That's a wonderful. You know, a lot of the scientists are not. Well, let's say. Within the last 5 years, a lot of the scientists don't want to accept that because, you know, consciousness is subtle. The effects are subtle, so they're very tiny and minute. But they do affect reality. There's no doubt about that. And
absolutely.
Some very notable scientists want to argue about it because the effects are subtle. That just because if you put a drop of water in a glass, does it make it any less valid than if you fill the glass up? So they're going to have to come around and accept it.
I think we're seeing...
And you're right, it's happening.
It's happening. We're seeing a battle of paradigms right now, an old world paradigm, a materialistic paradigm, and something beyond that. And that's what we're seeing. And when you go into the new paradigm, which explores consciousness from a non-materialistic or not just materialistic point of view, then it's exciting, it's new. It could be because of so many different, there's a lot of reasons, in other words, that this could be happening, and all of those reasons are mentioned and talked about in my film, whether it be astrology or the Maya calendar, all these different possibilities. It's up to the audience member to decide what or why is happening at this time. But what we are seeing is an old paradigm versus a new paradigm. And because the new paradigm is new to our society, to our culture, you have to be careful. Because anytime something new dawns like this, you're going to have truth and what is true or factually provable and therefore valuable to us to live by. And you're also going to have all that other stuff that's not yet true. It's not yet proven.
Because of duality, you know, it's either black or it's white, and people don't want to accept that the color is changing. They want to believe it's gray. You know, it is.
It's an interesting time to be alive, I'll tell you. But, you know, I would say that where I may differ from some people out there, I'm sure there's a lot of ways I differ, but one of the things that I talk about when people ask me about the film, people always ask me, well, what's going to happen in 2012? You know, it's a very blanket kind of question, and they want me to tell them because I've met all these people and I've gone through this journey and made this movie. I should know then what's going to happen in 2012. And actually, I don't know what's going to happen in 2012. And that's what's so interesting about our film project is that it doesn't tell you what's going to happen in 2012. It tells you what may be happening on the planet right now and what you may or may not be able to do about it. And that's what the film ultimately becomes. That's what I learn, is what is our conscious role in what's occurring and unfolding on the planet, each of us individually and then together collectively. What is that role? Because the way I see things right now, I see this as an extraordinarily exciting time to be alive on planet Earth, on the one hand. On the other hand, I see it as an extraordinarily dangerous time to be alive on planet Earth. There's this paradigm, polarity, where the old versus new, which is kind of what we're engaging in on the planet, because I'm definitely not a fear monger, but I definitely am a realist about it and what I think about it, which is if people are not going to listen to Eva and others do conscious radio shows and then make conscious decisions to listen to what they're feeling and do something new, pursue that path that might be calling to them. If they're not going to do that, or they're going to deny what they're feeling, their own awakening, then I think there's a consequence to that. And I don't think it's just personal. I believe there's a collective consequence to humanity if most of humanity is denying this kind of higher calling that seems to be occurring on the planet at this time. And I know we cover in the film that it's not about 50-50, where 50% of the planet has to be waking up to something greater in order for everything to be okay on the planet. It really isn't about that. You know, we learned from some of the Native American teachers that it's about a core group of people on the planet. And it can be a small percentage, and other traditions have already studied this, like transcendental meditation and other traditions, that awakening conscious force is so much exponentially more powerful than the older materialistic view of things, that it can bring about radical positive change in communities, societies, and the entire globe if it engages it together.
If you're familiar with David Hawkins' work, you know, consciousness,
yes,
even if you're not, you know, consciousness is in gradients. There's no doubt about it.
Mm.
So even after someone wakes up, that's not the end of the road. They continue waking up and continue waking up. In fact, when I look back on my own life, I almost look back and feel embarrassed at when I first woke up, because I thought I knew it all.
Mm.
And I thought I was going to go out and change the world, and I've grown in a lot since that time, and I realized, you know what? I really know nothing.
Right.
And at that point is when it seems growth becomes even quicker.
It's more exciting, too.
My point about that was that the more one wakes up, the more they try to follow their path like you're doing, the more light, the brighter their light shines, and the more that they can carry, the more people that they can carry. So one person really, you know, at, I don't know, I'm talking scale at 500, he said, at 300, he says, you know, they can carry the light for maybe 1,000. Then it jumps up to 500, and then it's 10,000. And then you jump up to 650, and maybe it's 1,000,000. So
right.
Every single thing each individual does is important. You're right.
And you said that in the film, actually. It was a key line, you know.
I didn't realize that. I didn't even think
Yeah, that's
that.
Exactly what you said in the movie. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Eva has an appearance in my cross-country tour, speaking to really the best of the best is who I shared in that. We had, like, Stephen Halpern, who's an incredible musician, a whole bunch
yes,
of other people,
is.
Really cool people in there.
And Daniel Pinchbeck, I didn't know about, I've never heard of him before, but he and I have since connected on Facebook. He was really interesting, too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up, because, you know, sometimes in these interviews I've been getting carried away talking just about my own experience, but people should know that we have, these incredible minds in the film. You know, we have Daniel Pinchbeck, who wrote many books, but his last book is about 2012, and he has become kind of an authority on shamanic consciousness and 2012 and how it's rooted in the Maya calendar and what may be happening. And one of the things he talks about in the movie is that in Metaphysia is that he discovered that what was meant by the term world, because these Native American and Mayan traditions had these terms worlds, and humanity in their sacred literature, their sacred tradition, humanity went and evolved through different worlds of experience. So there was a first world in which humanity was created, and that's a part of their creation myth. So there's the first world, and then something happened, like we hear about, for example, in the Bible, a great cataclysm, and then the second world dawned. And what he realized, Daniel, in his own awakening, is that they're talking about a world being a form of consciousness. So that when these new worlds were dawning on planet Earth in the Native American and Mayan and Aztec creation myths, they were talking about new kinds of consciousness waking up in the human beings that were alive at that time on the planet. So they were different worlds, and that we may be moving into a new world right now, a new form of consciousness for the entire human race. And this is what his research led him to conclude. And, of course, Daniel's been on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. He's become I don't even know what to call him.
I didn't realize
he's not just an author.
I found him very interesting. I'd never heard of him before, so I was pleased to be introduced to him.
Yeah, I mean, when I went on this journey, I just threw myself into it more and more. And the more I started having these synchronicities, and there are a few dramatic synchronicities in the movie that when an audience member of yours sees it in the movie, they will not know how that happened. And I can promise you, we didn't set it up. I just threw myself into this more and more. I didn't know a lot of these people either. I didn't know Daniel Pinchbeck.
What did your family think when you took off and did this?
What did who? I'm sorry?
Your family.
My family. That's
a great
question.
When you left work and just stopped and
I'll have to be careful because they're probably listening.
I have to know, is Walter still around?
Well, I got a lot of support from my family, even though my family, for sure, I'm just generalizing. This isn't their cup of tea.
It wasn't my family's either, but they've been around. At least they don't tell me the devil's after me anymore. They just look at me and smile now.
I never really got too much criticism from them. My brother, for example, was a big support. So he was more of someone in tune with me. And I have a sister, and she was very supportive, too. I don't think she quite knew what I was up to. And I think the rest of my family probably thought this is going to be a nice, personal, fun, like a journal. You know, he's going to go do something and have a little fun and, you know, we'll see. Get back to work, you know. And 4 years later, I don't think they realized that I was going to persist through this for 4 years because I didn't. I thought I'd make the movie in a year and be done, and we'd be celebrating Metaphysia 2012 years ago, and maybe I'd make a sequel by now. But this was such a profound experience, so transformative and so deep on so many levels for me. And what I'm learning now as people are watching the movie, on so many levels for people out there who are going through the same experience I was going through, now watching Metaphysia 2012, hearing from all these speakers like Chief Stoney Raina and others, and it is penetrating right to their heart and the heart of their experience right now. And that's why this film took me so long, because it was happening on so many different levels that I was unaware of. And that's a difficult place to navigate. You have to have a lot of faith and trust in your own process, in your own intuition, and in what is not an ordinary materialistic view of consciousness if you're going to persist through a project like this for 3-4 years. And that was difficult for me because I had to let go of things. I had to start trusting in this process more and more, not having any idea.
What happened to your business? I'm assuming it had to change. I mean, something.
My business changed, absolutely. I really want to be much more involved in conscious business, things that have meaning. In other words, making money serving people in a way that serves them at this time, like my film hopefully will do, as opposed to just doing business for the sake of making money. Now, how you do that is not that simple. You know, the economy is difficult, and I was involved in marketing, website design, and things like that for many years. So what I'm trying to do now, for example, with my movie, is create a marketing platform for the film itself to bypass a lot of that Hollywood game that gets played out there and allow other people to share in the profits of my film by promoting my film. That's one way I'm trying to merge this transformed view of business and make it about something that has meaning to me. So how did it change? I want my business to be about something meaningful. And what I'm learning is you can't just jump right into that. If you have bills to pay, you have bills to pay. So whatever you are doing, in terms of me, whatever I am doing, old clients or old business partnerships and relations, I try to bring more integrity, more consciousness, more of that intention to all those relationships. And then I take steps. I've been taking steps to move more and more in the direction of doing business that's about serving others right now, literally. not just giving them, something brand new and shiny to put in their house, which is okay, but something that serves them as a being on the planet right now.
Well, I want to say something about that right there. One, I rarely call people and ask for things. But as you know, in the world, when you do call somebody and ask for something, or when you say, how are you, most people really don't want to know. They're just passing, I'm fine, thanks, you know. But they're really, they're really not interested in how are you.
Right.
But the one time I called and said, can you help me? You didn't even bat an eye.
You're talking about me.
Yes, I'm talking about you.
Yep, I remember
that. You did not even bat an eye. It floored me. It really did. He really does walk his talk, is what I thought. And what I told everybody I knew. This man really is trying to walk his talk.
Thank you very much.
I respect you so much from that moment. You know, talking about your movie or shooting a movie, that's one thing. But actually walking your talk when somebody calls upon you and then seeing you put it out, it meant a lot to me.
Thank you very much for saying that. It means a lot to hear that.
Excuse me, I just knocked over a glass. It's like Daniel Brinkley says, I give people bear hugs now because I know that's really what I'm doing to myself. So know that that's what you did to yourself. I know you know that.
You know, and I can tell you that hopefully that's part of the message that's communicated in the movie, because that's what happened to me. You know, I've always been someone, I've always had a certain compassion for other people because of what I've gone through. Whenever, like you were saying, when you go through an awakening process in any discipline, it's usually difficult. Because that's just the way things work when you evolve on this planet. And when you go through difficulty and you come out of it, for me at least, what's important to take out of that experience isn't just what you learned about yourself. That's important. But what does that mean about how you relate to other human beings on this planet who are all struggling? They're all going through, in their own way, a similar experience. Because I had people who helped me. And then what would happen if those people shut down and didn't help me during my difficult time? How would I have gotten through that? The answer is I wouldn't have. So it's important to me as part of my own transformative journey, which, like you said, it's continuing. The film was just my story of a particular period of it, which now evolves. And I'm still working things out, you know. I have lots of things to do still. I really do. But what's important to me is that I do my best to live with integrity in my relationships, not be perfect, because I'm not perfect, unfortunately. I'm still learning lessons. But to try to have an intention that's about integrity and to try to understand other people from a compassionate point of view. Because everybody is going through something that is not easy at this time, but is full of opportunity and potential. And by being there for one another in whatever way we can, I think it's going to facilitate this collective awakening, if you will, to something more peaceful on the planet and more harmonious than if we all shut down and kind of do it on our own. So that's kind of my new philosophy at this stage, at this time, having gone through this film project. And I don't know where it's going to take me yet. I'm still learning.
How did you know how to start doing this?
Like the actual film?
Yeah.
Making process?
Yeah.
It's a great question. I used to live in California and did a lot of the marketing stuff that I do out there. I've always been a storyteller, a writer. I've always been a writer. In college, I used to love Ernest Hemingway, and I just wanted to be a writer. But as I got older, I also realized that I didn't want to... It's tough to be a writer in this day and age and be appreciated as a writer, because we have television and we have movies and all these things that people are much more interested, it seems, than just reading books. Although books are important, it's a very competitive landscape. But I've wanted to tell stories. I don't know why. I guess my own experience of life and how it's touched me in all kinds of ways to go through life as a human being, again, it awakens compassion. It awakens a spirit of love and empowerment in me when I think about all the things I've gone through and how I could share that, the thrill of being alive, but also the challenges you overcome in life. That's what stories are. I mean, stories are a retelling of challenges we meet along the path of life in growing, and we either overcome those challenges, which are what a lot of stories are about, or we are set back by those challenges, which are kind of what tragedies are about. But they're stories, and I've always loved that element of sharing, that art form of sharing stories. And I was trying to find in my 20s, how am I going to be involved with storytelling in this day and age? And so I eventually realized that making movies is going to be the way to do that, or making videos at least. And then the question was, well, how do I do it? And so I just started buying books and watching films and really becoming a student, self-taught, and then experimenting by making commercials or things that would maybe fit into my business model and therefore would allow me to break even if I invested in making a video or something. But ultimately, my one goal was to make a movie that would be a story that would be something that would communicate my experience of life to an audience and have them be moved by it. And that was my intention years ago without knowing I was going to get involved in this project. So over years of just studying on the side, experimenting, making short videos, commercials, eventually music videos, and working with really good people, that's another huge advantage. When you get to work with good people, well, I'm sure like you do a lot, Eva, you work with people who know something you don't, you instantly begin learning what they know, what they've spent their lifetime knowing.
Fortunate woman in the world when I get to, because I love to learn. I just love it. It's like I'm like a sponge. And so when I actually get to talk to somebody, some of these people that I get to talk to, and it's like bliss to me.
Exactly. And me too. I think you and I probably connect on that level quite a bit because if people, you know, a lot of friends come to my house and they see how many books I have. And I have thousands of dollars of books.
Yeah,
I mean, they think I'm insane, literally. And the first question everyone asks, and if you ever stop through Las Vegas, bring a friend with you and we'll see if they ask me this question, just as an experiment. Everybody comes into my house and they see all the books and they say, the first thing they say is, do you actually read all these books?
That's exactly what they say to me, too. I mean,
I have to be careful because if I say yes, then they're going to think I'm crazy. So I try to say, well, I read as much as I can, and, you know, it's kind of a library. But I'm an avid reader because I'm like you. I soak up whenever I'm interested in something. I can't just buy one book about it. I want all the books about it, and I want to read it all together until I really feel like everything these people know, I now have access to. And then I can process it and integrate it into my own consciousness and use it in my life in the best way possible. And I think that's part of the reason I began making the film years ago is I was like, I'm going to get to meet all these cool people, you know? And I'm going to get to interview all these people and just learn. And that's how it began for me.
We've only got a couple of minutes, and I forgot at the very beginning I normally say, tell me who you are and a little bit about how you got there, so you've done that. But I didn't ask you to tell us where people can find you. Please tell us that.
Well, if you come to Las Vegas at the McCarran Airport, no, just kidding.
I'll be there next week.
Well, my name is Sean Fisher, and I'm from the East Coast, but I'm on the West Coast now. And on the internet, we have a couple different websites that are sharing the DVD of the film right now. And the main one where you can buy the DVD is globalvisionfilm.com with a www in front. www.globalvisionfilm.com. And when you go there, it's going to ask you to put somebody's referral name in there. Because what I'm doing is every time someone purchases a DVD, I share a percentage of the profit that's, or the revenue from that DVD with whoever referred them to my site. And I think it would be, you know, important to give people your information, even unless you don't care, it doesn't matter. But this is your radio show, and this is your audience. If you go to Global Vision Film, they could put in your name and then purchase the DVD.
And it spell the DVD so they'll understand how you spell it.
Okay, Metaphysia is Metaphysia. So it's like the word metaphysics, but it's Metaphysia, I-A, instead of a C. So,
and they can
Metaphysia.
See a trailer somewhere?
Yes, you can see the trailer at globalvisionfilm.com /, I think it's Eva Hare, is that her, is that correct?
I don't know, honestly, Sean, I'd have to go look it up.
That's okay. If they go to globalvisionfilm.com, then what they can do is watch the trailer, and then they can email us, it'll come directly to me for the proper referral person's name, which is yours, and I'll send it to them in an email right away.
And they can see you on YouTube a little bit somewhere, can't they, too?
Say that again?
Aren't you on YouTube somewhere if they just want to see what it...
Yep, you can go to YouTube, and you can type in Metaphysia 2012. That's the name of the film. And on YouTube, you can watch the trailer. I have an old trailer from years ago still up there, so you can kind of see where we were years ago. And now you can see the latest trailer, which is more accurate to what the film is. Both of them are on YouTube. You just go to YouTube and type in Metaphysia 2012, and it'll pull it right up. And then get a copy of the film, watch the film, share with me your experience. The best part about this for me, Eva, is when people tell me what they went through. I really enjoy hearing the feedback from people because it just connects me with the audience. And then tell people about it. And that's really all I'm doing right now is sharing the film. And we looks like we may be going to some film festivals soon. They're doing some screening events in Los Angeles, some friends of mine. So it's starting to get out there.
So
and people are enjoying
it. We only got just a few minutes, but I want to, if somebody wanted to, like if you wanted to do an opening here in Atlanta, there are a couple of little theaters that specialize in this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if people listening to the show knew of a theater in their town that might do that,
mm-hmm.
How would they go about helping you facilitate that? Does
that
make
sense? What they can do is they can, I'm totally open right now because number one thing for me is that the film gets seen. That's what it was made for, is for people to go through that journey, to listen to Chief Sonny Reyna and others. So they can email me at metaphysia2012@gmail.com. So if you have any ideas or contacts that can help the film or put the film in front of other people, like you're saying, maybe screen it in your local city, I would be more than happy to talk about that possibility with you, and we can work out a way to make that happen and make it easy. Metaphysia2012@gmail.com is the best way to contact me about any ideas you have. And this can be international, too. Anybody internationally listening can also, we can do that, too.
That's a good point, because we do have international listeners.
Of course you do.
So that's a good thing. You know, there is something called the World Commission on Consciousness and Spirituality, and it's just a group of conscious individuals that this man, Ashok Gangading, has put together. And it's kind of on the ground floor, too, but it's a very important organization. Look it up, because they have, I can't remember how many, but I'm going to say 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 commissions on different councils, and one of them is Mindful Media.
Mm.
So look that up. Thank you for coming on my show.
This is a
lot
of fun.
And I'm going to be in touch because I have some ideas for you.
I knew you were a good interviewer, but now I know exactly how good you are. See?
Okay.
I had to go through the process myself.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Thank you. It's been a pleasure knowing you.
We'll talk to you soon. This is what Chief Sonny Reyna taught me to say to people. It has something to do with love from my heart. It's almost like Hawaiians, they say aloha. In his tradition, the Yaqui tradition, they say yahete.
I liked it.
From my heart,
that.
Yahete. And so I'd like to say goodbye
agape,
and say that.
So.
Agape, exactly.
Thank you,
Sean.
So
I'll say yehete and thank you very much.
I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health.
Integral Health. Integral Health.
You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health.
Consciousness and health.
Consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.
Not me.